Turn again to this 21st chapter of this wonderful Gospel of John. And this afternoon I'm going to start the reading at verse number 18 and finish the reading at verse number 23. So John chapter 21, verses 18 to 23. Verily, verily, or truly, truly I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou would not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? May God help us see truth in his word, even in this portion this afternoon. You may be seated. There is something in this room. And the thing that is in this room is very, very big. And it is not only in this room, it is in every place on the face of this earth. And I'm going to use a phrase as I begin to describe this thing that is very, very big. Now I use it not to downplay or diminish the sobering and serious nature of what this thing is or what this phrase refers to, but because this phrase captures one of the truths that is seen in the verses we have reached in this last chapter of the biblical Gospel of John that I have just read. Now, what is this phrase I am referring to? There is an elephant in this room. There is an elephant in this room that we all naturally, and dare I say, even instinctively, shy away from wanting to face personally. For if this elephant makes its presence felt in the lives of those who don't want to face it, it is not easy to ignore it. But even when this elephant makes its presence known personally, people want to block it out of their minds as soon as they possibly can. Now, what elephant am I referring to? What elephant am I referring to that is in this room, that is in every room, that is in every place on this earth? The elephant of death. The elephant of death that constantly makes its presence known and felt but which we want to ignore and labor to ignore. Despite the wisdom that the Lord gave Moses to write what he does in Psalm 90, verses 10 and 11, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet there is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, not our weeks, not our months, not our years, not our decades, but our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Or what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 7:2, it is better. Not it's easier. Not it's necessarily joyful, but it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. But let me be honest. Let's be honest. Do we all consider this elephant as often and as seriously as we should? Do we? Be honest. And how different would this spiritually blind and deaf and dying world be if men did? The revival it so much needs would be upon us if men displayed more concern about this elephant that has, is, and will touch all people, apart from the very small number who have ever lived who will be alive at the second coming of the Lord. But why is it? Why is it a universal characteristic of all people, regardless of who they are, to want to usher the elephant of death out of the room as soon as possible, even though, you know what? It will come back. It will come back. It will come back again and again and again, asking for attention. And the power it demonstrates over our lives. Now, I don't think, and it is not wrong to remember, and it is not wrong to be thankful for the life of a loved one that has died. That is honoring the loved one who has died. But how many use these remembrances, use these eulogies, use these false hopes regarding the one who has died to tranquilize the elephants? And not face their own dying lives. And not personally face it. What if it was me? What if it was me who was in that coffin? What if it was me who was in that coffin? Or has had my physical remains cremated or liquefied because traditional burial has become astronomically expensive. And even the less expensive methods of handling the body that the loved one used to dwell in can, dear brethren, run into the tens of thousands of dollars. But why? Why do all dying people, and dear brethren, we're all dying people, why do all dying people dislike facing this elephant? Well, one reason is because it is a reminder of the wages of sin. We don't like facing this elephant because it is a reminder of the wages of sin. For the wages of sin is death. Now, the non-believer does not believe this and may even get offended if this truth is mentioned. But what is the one thing the non-believer does not want to face correctly? his personal sin and sinfulness. And so he's not going to ask the question, why do I do things that are wrong? He doesn't want to face his personal sin and sinfulness, and the greatest demonstration of mankind's unwillingness to face his sin and sinfulness is how he dislikes facing what the Bible infallibly declares is the reason for death in all its various forms, be it physical, spiritual, or eternal. That's one reason. But another reason men universally do not like facing this elephant is because of what it is. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is not only the wages of sin, but it is also an enemy. It's also an enemy, dear brethren, that none of us can defeat. None of us can defeat. It defeats all of us. Apart from, as I said, that small number of dying people who will be alive but still facing the prospect of dying when the Lord returns. We dislike facing the elephant because there is no sinner he has not defeated. It conquers young. It conquers old. It conquers the rich. It conquers the poor. It conquers male. It conquers female. There is not a single category of humanity that can say, we have defeated this enemy. Is there? Rich? The rich die. The poor? The poor die. The young die. The old die. The famous die. Leaders die. It was interesting in my devotional reading this morning. I started to read in 1 Kings, and I found this interesting to read this text. In 1 Kings, about King David, where he came to die. Even kings die. It came time for him to do what? To die. Kings die. Presidents die. Congressmen die. Senators die. There's no category of humanity that can say, we've defeated this enemy. It will defeat you and it will defeat me in the myriads of ways that it can. And so we don't like facing this enemy that has universal power over all of us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet sadly, man in his attempts to present a brave face in the face of this unconquerable enemy makes light of it, does he not? Does he not make light of it? I even remember a TV show that would be advertised on my clients' TVs more than once. 1,000 Ways to Die, or some such thing, in which all the so-called entertaining ways men can make their maker are examined. What a sign of the depravity of man that men want to be entertained by the varying ways men can die. But let someone they know and love be taken in one of those ways, and I can tell you, dear brethren, they will not be entertained by it. They will not say, oh, did you see the show last night and how they showed how that person died? If that was their loved one, they won't be saying, oh, wow, that was entertaining. Why don't we like facing this elephant? Because it reminds us all of our fallenness in Adam. Because it is an enemy none of us can defeat on our own. We would rather not face this elephant in the room. And this natural dislike of facing death that we all demonstrate, dear brethren, is seen in the chosen and restored apostles of the Lord as well. Because what do you see Jesus doing? What do you see Jesus doing in the passage that I read for you a few moments ago? You see Jesus telling Peter that he's not going to die a pleasant death, but that he's going to be martyred for the faith once delivered to the saints. But after Jesus tells him this and to follow him, what does Peter do? What does Peter do, dear brethren? Does he pray, Lord, strengthen my faith in you, so when that day comes in your sovereignty, I will not deny thee again like I did 3 times? He doesn't do that. Does he cry out, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, so that when that day comes for me in thy sovereignty, that I will keep my eyes on you, so that I will not stumble as I did so grievously on the night in which you were betrayed? Does he do that? No. What does he do? What does Peter do? He asks Jesus about what's going to happen to John. He asks Jesus about what's going to happen to John. Verses 20 and 21. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus has just told Peter that he's going to die a martyr's death. I don't want to face that. I don't want to consider that. I don't want to cry out to the Lord for help and wisdom and guidance. Lord, I don't want to consider my own death. What about John? We'll consider everyone else's death but our own. What about John? For here's Jesus revealing truth about his death that he alone could have revealed to him, and yet he wants information about John's death. See, we can talk about other people's deaths. We can struggle through someone we know and love dying, but face our death square in the face. Lord, what about John? The most personal of deaths that any of us can possibly face is our own. And yet, dear brethren, let's be honest, we would rather not think about it. Lord, what about John? Now, in saying what I have just said about Peter, I'm not criticizing him. I'm not criticizing him. I am showing how he is no different than you and I. He is no different than you and I are. For what is the last thing any of us wants to hear? That doctor's report. Well, I had a funny growth, and I went to the doctor, and he took some blood, and he took some tests, and now the doctor says the report is in, but I don't really want to hear it. And dear brethren, which of us have not had to face the reality of the scourge known as cancer in our family in some way? My beloved mother died of it. As you know, Dale's sister-in-law just recently died of it. But dear brethren, what is the one thing that people, even with terminal cancer, do not want to talk about or face? Let's be honest. The elephant in the room. They hold out hope despite the clear signs that the person is no longer living. He is beginning to die. And dear brethren, that is a reality. People do begin to die. And dear brethren, I do not say this to make light of any person or any family who has gone through this even more than once. But it powerfully illustrates what Peter so clearly shows us as well. Lord, what about John? You've just told me that I'm going to die a martyr's death, but I don't want to face that, Lord. What about John? And the fact And the fact that my native Canada and some states in this country have endorsed what is called assisted suicide, assisting someone to kill themselves and meet their maker with their own blood on their hands, testifies again to how unwilling mankind is to face death. Let's turn this thing that is the wages of sin, let's turn this enemy into something we can handle on our own terms, even remove its sting. It's not suicide, it's not self-murder, it's death with dignity, it's the right to die. Right to die? Dear brethren, you're going to die. Why do you need a right to die? But notice, Jesus is aware of our dislike of facing our own death. For how does he introduce this elephant to Peter? How does he introduce this elephant to Peter? By acknowledging that even his martyr's death, through which he would glorify God, is not something Peter wanted to go through. Peter went through his death to the glory of God, but it was not dishonoring the Lord to acknowledge that the way was something he would rather not have gone through. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou would not. Martyrs for Christ can sing in the fire. But that does not mean they would not have preferred an easier way of meeting their Lord and Savior. Dear brethren, believers are martyrs for Christ, not masochists for Christ. For what is going to happen in glory? Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Jesus is declaring a truth about Peter's death. He would be a martyr for Christ, but dear brethren, no true believer says, oh, bring on the flames, oh, bring on the lions, I like having my limbs torn from my body. But by the strength of God, I can do this to the glory of God. Death is a rough door. Even believers must go through, and that door is rougher for some than for others, as it would be for Peter and all the apostles, if the record of church history is correct, except for the one that Peter wanted information on. But rather than not being willing to face his own death, and even our reluctance to face our own demise, notice the truths that would strengthen Peter when it did come for him in the sovereignty of God. And may they strengthen you as you face that elephant so few want to face, even believers, because not facing it with the truths that Jesus so powerfully reveals in this section. First truth to properly face this elephant. First truth to properly face this elephant. The Lord knows exactly when and exactly how you are going to die. The Lord knows exactly when and how you are going to die. Verse 18 again. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou would not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Jesus is revealing to Peter that he knows how Peter is going to die. And when he is going to die, death is the elephant we don't want to face. But dear brethren, that elephant is in the hands of the Lord. That elephant is in the hands of the Lord. He knows when and how every one of his blood-bought saints is going to die. Lord, my times are in thy hands. Even the time and the manner of my death. Death is an unconquerable, powerful enemy to me, but in your hands, it is a defeated enemy. In your hands, it is a defeated enemy that you will use to usher me into your glorious presence. For precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For to be absent from the body, however becoming absent from my body takes place in your sovereignty, means I will be present with you. Because as sobering and as sudden as some deaths can be, even of true believers, there are no accidental deaths from the Lord's perspective. There are no accidental deaths from the Lord's perspective because he holds the keys of hell and of death. Jesus holds the reign of this elephant. That none of us want to face or can defeat. But when it comes to take you, believer, the Lord is holding the reins. Second truth to properly face this elephant. Remember that the way in which you die can be a means to do something that you were saved to do. What were you saved to do, believer? To glorify the God of your salvation. You were saved to glorify the God of your salvation. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And if the way you are going to die, believer, was not a way through which you could glorify God, you know what? You wouldn't die that way. Oh, how we could defeat this enemy if you and I would individually remember how I am going to die is in the hands of my beloved Lord and Savior, and the way that he has ordained for me to die is a way that I can glorify and honor him. Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If this article is correct, and I have no reason to doubt that it isn't, the believers whom ISIS are martyring because they will not deny Christ are annoying their murderers because they are not displaying any fear in the face of death. Have these precious believers had the truth that how they are to die is a way they can glorify their Lord and Savior written upon their hearts by the Holy Spirit of God? Dear brethren, I fear for all of those in this country who have been deceived by the health, wealth, and prosperity anti-gospel preachers, and the number who have embraced the false pre-tribulation view of eschatology. If real persecution was to come against the church in this country, would those embracing such false and dangerous views be able to see and know that they could die in a way that would glorify their Lord and Savior? Third truth to properly face this elephant. Don't focus on the elephant. Don't focus on the elephant. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't ignore the elephant, and don't become morbid and preoccupied with it, but remember who is holding its leash. the Lord. So keep your eyes on Him. Keep following Him. Because what does Jesus tell Peter to do after telling him how he is going to die? The end of verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then after Peter tries to shift the focus from his death to how John is going to die, what does Jesus say again? Verse 20 and 21 and 22. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to me? Follow thou me. Face this elephant the only sane and safe way it is to face it, by following Jesus. By following Jesus, by confessing Him, by living for Him. So when the time comes in His sovereignty, you know what you will be able to do? You know what you'll be able to do if you're following Jesus? When the time comes in His sovereignty for your death, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to die to His glory. The next time you hear of someone dying, will it remind you to be doing what Jesus said we should be doing in the face of this universal enemy? Believing on the one who is the resurrection and the life, following the one who is the resurrection and the life, so that when death comes knocking for you, you know that it is in the sovereign hands of the one who defeated its power and sting and penalty, so that you could go through it to be in His glorious presence forever. May God give us the wisdom not to ignore the elephant, but to keep looking at Jesus in the face of it. Let us pray.